Take your copy of God's Word and open it with me this morning to the Gospel of Matthew. And we're going to be in chapter 11. We're going to look at the last three verses. Matthew chapter 11 will start in verse 28. While you're turning there, let me just ask you, honestly, how many of you are tired? You would say, Pastor, I am so tired this morning. I may know the reason why. I read an article that says every single day your heart beats 103,000 times. Every day you take about 23,000 breaths. Every single day you drink about 3 quarts of liquid. Every day you eat about 3.5 pounds of food, although some a little bit more. Every day you speak about 25,000 words, and again, some a few more. Every single day you move about 750 different muscles in your body, and every single day you exercise about 7 million brain cells. You put it all together, no wonder you're tired. You know, it's one thing to experience physical fatigue, but spiritual fatigue is something altogether different, as we're going to see in the Word of God this morning. There is a difference. And maybe some of you know this all too well. This kind of spiritual weariness can show up in any number of areas in our lives. Maybe for some of you, honestly, you're just so tired of trying to keep that marriage going, or you're so tired of trying to survive financially. You're so tired of trying to keep the business afloat. You're so tired of that contentious relationship or that overbearing boss. But ladies and gentlemen, unlike with that physical fatigue, there is no medication you can take to help with this kind of tired. There's no amount of exercise that you can do. There is no amount of vacation that you can take that will bring you the kind of rest that we're going to look at in the Word of God this morning. You know, I believe there are a lot of people who've been forced to rest physically because of COVID-19, but they are not experiencing that spiritual rest that they need. In our passage this morning, Jesus is talking to people who are so weary, they are so tired, it's as if they cannot go on. We're just going to look at three short verses. These are some of the most beloved words in all of the Word of God. But in this passage, Jesus invites us to experience rest, real rest, spiritual rest. He shows us what this kind of rest involves and how we can have it. So let's read these words, starting in verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, what? Rest. Say that word again. Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find, what? Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This morning, I believe we're going to see that the kind of rest that Jesus is talking about is like a coin with two sides. And each side of this spiritual rest is important. Two things about this we need to understand. There is this initial rest that we experience, and then there's what I call a continual rest, but there's that initial rest of salvation. And I want you to think about those first three words in verse 28 when Jesus said, come to me. Because guess what? There's the gospel in a nutshell. Come to me. Come to Jesus. When Jesus says, come to me, he's not calling us to self-improvement. He's not calling us to reform our lives, to try harder, or to do better. He's not calling us to religion. He's not calling us to an institution. He's not calling us to church membership, although that's a good thing. He's not calling you to some ritual. And listen, he's not even calling us to a body of doctrine. Doctrine is very important, and yet it is possible for a person to know lots of doctrine, and yet they have not come to Jesus, and they do not know him personally. So no, Jesus said not come to any of these things. He said to come to himself. He said, come to me. Come. It's the great invitation of the Bible. We see it again and again in the scriptures. But what does it mean when we talk about coming to Jesus? Well, to come to Jesus means believing in him. Let me remind you of what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 35. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Notice, coming to Jesus is synonymous with believing in Jesus or placing your faith in Jesus. Coming to Jesus means following Jesus. We remember what Jesus said to the rich young ruler. He said, come and follow me. Coming to Jesus means repenting. It means turning away from sin and self and turning to Christ. We remember what Jesus said in Mark 8:34. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And so again, we see this link between coming to Jesus and denying self. One involves the other. Coming to Jesus means we bring him all of our guilt, all of our sin, all of our shame, and he gives us what he has. He gives us salvation and eternal life. The Bible even closes with an invitation to come. Revelation 22, 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. This is, again, the great invitation of the Bible. And if these words that Jesus spoke in Matthew 11, come to me and I'll give you rest, if they were spoken by anybody else, they would be absurd. If a scientist or an inventor were to say, come to me and I will give you rest, why, we would laugh at them. If a philosopher or a politician said, come to me and I will give you rest for your soul, I don't know that we would take them seriously. Only Jesus can make this claim. These words only make sense when they come from the lips of the Son of God. And by the way, this is why you cannot separate the teaching of Jesus from the person of Jesus. There are some people who try and claim that Jesus was just a good teacher, but not the Son of God. They say, well, he was a good moral teacher, but not the resurrected Lord. It doesn't work that way. Jesus did not say, I give you good advice, and if you will take it, you will have rest. No, he says, come to me. We're invited to come to a person, the rest that you need, the rest that Jesus said, I offer to you, I offer in myself. This rest comes in knowing Christ personally. Jesus offered these words to those who, quote, labor and who are heavy laden. Now, I believe this labor that Jesus is referring to in verse 28 refers to the labor of a person trying in vain to earn their salvation, to earn God's favor by their good works, by their performance. And you must remember that Jesus was speaking to an audience that was so worn out. They had so many rules and regulations that had been placed upon them. They not only had the law, which none of us have fulfilled, we all fall short, but the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they all came along, and what did they do? They took that law that God had given them, and they began to add to it countless rules, countless regulations. There were so many, you could not learn them all, much less keep them all. For example, we read the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Simple enough, right? What did they do? The religious authorities came to the people and said, well, you've got to keep it, the Sabbath, holy, so therefore, you can only walk 1,000 steps on the Sabbath day. So you had everybody keep and count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Can't go past 1,000 or I'll be breaking the Sabbath. But, they said, if you tie a rope to your front door, you can walk 1,000 steps past that rope. So now you get to go a little further. Or if you had a servant and you didn't care if he broke the law, you could send that servant ahead of you. And as long as your servant brought 2 meals with him, they said that counted as a second residence. And you could then walk 1,000 steps beyond that. It was absolutely insane. You open up the book of Leviticus and you had laws about ceremonial cleansings and things like washing your hands. Now, we have learned during a pandemic, it's important to wash our hands. God gave them these laws because it was not only good for their health physically, but there were some spiritual lessons as well. But what did these religious authorities do? They came along and said, well, you have all these rules about how much water you can use when you wash your hands, and when you must wash your hands, and where you store the water, and who's allowed to pour the water, and which direction the water must flow while you're washing your hands. And they took the law that God had given them, they took that which was good, and they turned it into something entirely different, and it all became one big burden. So I want you to listen to what Jesus said about those guys and what they were doing in Matthew 23, verse 4. And notice how this sheds light on what we just read in Matthew 11. For they bind heavy hearts, or heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Isn't it interesting how those who are so quick to cast burdens upon others are so hesitant to carry those burdens themselves? But what were they doing? They were reducing the faith to just a list of rules and regulations. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. And by the way, there are those who would do the same with the gospel. There are those who would gladly do the same with Christianity. Just reduce it to a list of rules. And folks, it is a burden. It's a burden that we cannot bear because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It results in this feeling of just hopelessness. And let me tell you, it is exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting to your soul when you fall into this mindset that says you have to earn your salvation or you have to try to earn God's approval with your performance or by your behavior. And so you labor and you labor and you try as hard as you can, but you always fall short, and no matter what you do, it's never enough. So Jesus comes along and he says, I didn't come here to put this burden upon you. I came to take that burden away. So he said, come to me and I'll give you rest. Hey, Buddha never said, come to me. He said, here's an eightfold path. Try to walk it and maybe you'll have rest. Muhammad never said, come to me. He said, here are five pillars. Try to uphold them and maybe you'll find rest. But standing out from all others, Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. It's that initial rest of salvation. When you understand that we are saved not by works, but by grace through faith alone, it's that initial rest when you realize that you don't have to carry that burden of legalism anymore because Jesus paid it all when he died on the cross for your sins and for mine. And he offers you that rest. He offers it freely. He says, come to me and just receive it. That's the gospel. There's that initial rest of salvation, but then there's also the continual rest of submission. And this is the other side of that coin I told you about. It's that continual rest of submission, the rest that comes to you more and more as a disciple of Jesus, as you go deeper in your relationship with him. Look again at verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Let me pause right there. How many of you deal with yokes on a regular basis? I didn't think so. Me neither. But I think we all understand the imagery here. That yoke was a wooden bar that you would place upon the neck of an ox or upon oxen in order to control them, in order to work them so that they could pull a plow or a cart. As you can see, part of it literally was wrapped around the neck. The ox wore that yoke because it was in submission to the master. This is how the farmer kept that beast under control, how he guided it, made it do what he wanted it to do. So, to take your yoke in those days, that imagery meant to put yourself in submission to someone. Now, I think it's worth noting here, Jesus did not say, come to me and there will be no yoke. That's what some people think, but that's not what he said. He didn't say there would be no yoke. What he said was, my yoke is not like the yokes of this world. My yoke is different, and you're going to want it, so take it. Now, the problem is, a lot of people say, I don't want a yoke upon me. I don't want a divine boss telling me what to do. I want to do what I want to do, and I want to go where I want to go. I want to have freedom. But there's something they don't understand. What they do not realize is, they already have a yoke. They're already carrying a yoke. The question is, whose yoke are you carrying? Now, it might be Jesus's yoke, or it could be the yoke of this world. It could be the devil's yoke. Some people are carrying the yoke of shame for things that they've done in their past that they just can't seem to get over. For some people, it's that yoke of pressure to conform to this world, to do what the world says, to do what the world wants. For some people, it's that yoke of materialism, that idea that you must have more, make more, more money, more house, more car, and you won't be happy until you get it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not freedom. Freedom, real freedom, is not when you cast off that yoke of Christ. It's not being out of control or under no one's control. It's when you place yourself under God's control. You can't be free from the concerns of this life until you are surrendered to the control of Christ. And again, I ask you, whose yoke are you carrying this morning? There was another way they used that yoke imagery in the first century many times. When a rabbi would take on a new student, people would say of that student that he took his master's yoke. And so to not only put yourself under someone's authority, but to commit yourself to learn from them. It's possible, it seems likely, that's at least part of what Jesus was saying, because he said in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, this learning, of course, is a lifelong process. The more we learn from him, the deeper and the greater is that rest that we are going to experience. And in this school of rest, we're going to find that Jesus is the teacher and he's also the subject. He's also the subject because we look at him and we see that never was a man who was under more pressure than Jesus. No one ever carried a heavier burden than Jesus. No one ever faced more opposition or more criticism than Jesus. No one ever had more responsibility on their shoulders than Jesus. So if you feel like you are burdened by all of these things, where better are you going to go than Jesus? And that's why he said, take my yoke and learn from me. This is a lifetime of learning as we follow Christ and as we learn to imitate Christ. Now, Jesus said, take my yoke, learn from me, because here's the kind of teacher I am. He said, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You've probably had teachers at some point who were not gentle or lowly in heart. I had a few professors along the way. I feared to step foot in their office for what they might say or do to me. Jesus said, I'm not that kind of teacher. He said, I'm gentle, I'm lowly. Now, those were the words that were used of a shepherd who was caring for the sheep. Think Psalm 23. And Jesus is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. He doesn't abuse the sheep. He makes them lie down in green pastures. He leads them beside still waters. He provides for them. If necessary, he defends them with his rod and staff. And so as we voluntarily take upon ourselves the yoke of following Christ, and as we learn more and more from him, here is what Jesus said would happen. He said, you will find rest for your souls. I want you to notice that word souls, because that's not the normal Greek word for soul that appears repeatedly in the New Testament. This word for soul in the Greek, it's the word psuche. We get the word psyche from this word. In other words, Jesus is not talking here about mere physical rest. When he talks about soul rest or psuche rest, he's talking about rest in the deepest part of who you are. That's what he's offering. Now, you probably already know that when you lie down to go to sleep at night, there are multiple levels of sleep. I believe there are four different levels of sleep. And the longer you sleep, the deeper the level, the more rest you achieve. Well, so it is in the spiritual life. The more you submit to Christ, the more you learn from Christ, the more of that soul rest you can experience. And as you experience more of the grace of God, there's rest. And as you learn more to lean on the promises of God, there's rest. When you are more often filled with the Spirit of God, there is rest. Listen, submitting to Christ doesn't produce weariness. Weariness is what happens when you refuse to submit to Christ. I heard somebody say, nothing will cause you more stress than to throw off the yoke of Christ. Nothing will bring you more peace than to put on the yoke of Christ. Take my yoke, Jesus said. Learn from me. You will have rest. And yes, that is a paradox. Yes, when we read it initially, it sounds like a contradiction, because we know that a yoke is a weight that you put on somebody. A yoke is associated with hard work. A yoke is not that thing that takes that gives you rest. It's that thing that takes away your rest. But Jesus said, not so with me. He said in verse 30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy. Now, I know what you're thinking. Some of you are thinking, oh, Pastor Howard, wait a second. I've known Jesus Christ for X number of years. I don't ever remember it being easy. Well, if you put it that way, I don't either. Well, that word for easy, he said, my yoke is easy. Again, in the original language, it's a word that means to be fitted. Just like they would take that literal yoke and they would build it based on the size of the ox or the strength of the ox, it would be custom fitted for that ox. Likewise, God's yoke is fitted for you. God's plan for your life, which includes, yes, all of the trials of life that you will experience, they are tailor-made just for you. They are fitted for you. And it's not meant to bless you. They're fitted in order, not to harm you. It's fitted in order to bless you, to take you where God wants you to go, to make you into the man or woman that God wants you to be. Not only did Jesus say his yoke is easy, but he said, my burden is light. My burden, the burden of following and serving Jesus, it's light. You know, when you really love somebody and when they love you, it's not a heavy burden to serve them, is it? It might be a burden at times, sure, but that burden is light. Because that's what love does. I want you to listen, because John said something interesting that perhaps sheds some light on this. In 1 John 5:3, he said, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And listen to this. And his commandments are not burdensome. They're not burdensome. We saw this last week. The law of Christ is love. His love inspires us, his love empowers us to love others, and it's not a heavy burden for us to do so. Jesus said, my burden is light. It's like a scuba diver who puts on that heavy oxygen tank, and it's a great weight on his back until he jumps into the water, and all of a sudden it is light, and it gives him the air that he needs. It keeps him alive. This burden that Jesus is describing, it's like that heavy, heavy pack that a paratrooper will wear, and it's a great weight upon him, but when he jumps out of that airplane and when he releases it, it guides him gently and safely to the ground below. It keeps him alive. That's the kind of burden that we carry when we follow Jesus. Yes, there is a yoke. We obey him, we follow him, we serve him. But this yoke of Jesus, it is a life-giving yoke. Yes, there is a burden, but the burden of Jesus is light. So let me just ask you some final questions in the way of application this morning. Have you taken that step of simply coming to Jesus for salvation? Just coming to Jesus, receiving him as Savior and Lord. Or have you tried in vain to carry that heavy burden of rules and regulations? And if you've never come to Christ, you're going to have the opportunity to do that this morning. We invite you to do that. Are you regularly taking up the yoke of Christ? Are you increasingly placing your life under his authority? Or have you cast off that yoke because what you really want is to do your own thing? Have you dedicated yourself to learning from him? Are you experiencing that soul rest that he talked about in verse 29? How about this? When was the last time you invited someone to experience that true rest in Christ? You've heard me talk about my grandmother. She raised me for about 5 years of my life after my mom died when I was a boy. One of the godliest women I ever met, my grandmother, had a very interesting habit for how she read the Word of God. Now, she read the Bible through, I don't know how many times, I believe once a year, but my grandmother had a very particular way of doing it. First of all, she only read her Bible at night, not in the morning, because she said that's when her mind was better. And so she wanted to give God her best moment. So she always read her Bible at night. She always went straight from Genesis to Revelation. She didn't do like some people, like I do, read a little from the Psalms, a little from the New Testament, a little from the Old Testament. No, she liked to just go from Genesis to Revelation. She was just particular. That's how she did it. And she always always marked in her Bible exactly where she left off so that the next evening she could pick up at that very place when she continued to read the Word of God. And she did that every day of her life until January the 4th, 2001, when God immediately called her home. And I remember going to the house and being just curious as to where she was, knowing that habit. I was just curious as to where my grandmother was in her Bible reading, that place where she left off right before God called her home. And there was the Bible by her bed like every night, and there was that bookmark marking the place like she always had done. And so I took her Bible, I opened it up to that place, I looked down where she left off in her Bible reading, and I read God's final instructions to her in this earthly life. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I understand very well that Jesus was not talking about death in Matthew chapter 11. But let me just leave you with this. When you experience that initial rest of salvation by simply coming to Jesus, you not only get to experience that continual ongoing rest of submission, but you get to look forward to eternal rest with Him in heaven. That's the rest I'm looking forward to. That's the rest He's offering to you today. Would you join me as we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this soul rest that You offer us through Jesus Christ, that only Jesus could offer us and only Jesus does offer us. And He tells us simply to come. It's not based on what we've done. It's not based on our ability to do religious things or perform good works, because the truth is we can never carry that burden. We've all fallen short. He tells us simply to come and believe and receive what He did for us when He died on the cross for our sins. And so, Father, I want to pray this morning, if there are those in this room who have never taken that step of simply coming to Jesus, I pray that this would be that day that they say, Father, I come to You with arms open wide, with empty hands, with nothing to offer You but myself. And God, here I am. Take me and save me. We know You'll do it. You promise us in Your word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, I pray for someone maybe in this room or someone who's watching right now online that needs to take that step, that they would not wait or delay, not another moment, that they would experience that initial rest and that ongoing rest, and then one day when You do call them home, that eternal rest in heaven with You. And God, I want to pray for each one who's here this morning who knows Christ, that they would experience on a real, practical level, that rest for the soul that Jesus spoke of. Forgive us, God, when we are tempted to cast off that yoke, to do our own thing or go our own way. Help us to continually take up that yoke of Christ, knowing His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Speak to us. Have Your way, God. We pray that You'll be glorified in how we respond to Your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.